Okay, so this morning we come to the practice proper, Anapanasati. And we begin with the first tetrad, which is contemplation of the body. So as we saw yesterday in our meditation exercise, the body actually constitutes all of the senses. If you're aware of your body, you will be aware of all the senses, because your sense organs are located in the body. So tactile, sensational, or feel, which is quite often associated with body awareness, is one of the senses. And to be fair, is probably the leading edge of body awareness. You know, if you're going to be aware of your body, well, normally you'll be aware of your posture, feet, head, hands, all that sort of stuff. But the body also constitutes the rest of the senses. So what we're looking for with kaya nupassana, or contemplation of the body, is a good general awareness of the body. It's not very complicated, it's just a good general sensible awareness of the body anchored to the breath. The theme of Anapanasati is that the breath threads through all the tetrads, and is the sort of anchor for mindfulness moving through the practice. But whenever we come to meditate, the first problem you face is actually cutting in to your meditation, because quite often our minds are disturbed or our bodies are unsettled, and it's actually the first job of work, as it were, when we sit down on the cushion, is to actually cut in and find some sort of stable mindfulness. So we begin with Anapanasati, with contemplation of the body. The body's probably the most stable thing that we've got, really, and it goes everywhere with us. We sit down and then we become aware of the body. And when we do this, there's no rush in terms of trying to establish awareness. All the first tetrad is really, it's a movement from when we first sit down on the cushion to actually developing some integrated awareness and concentration by the fourth stage of this tetrad. So we just sit down and we just get a feel for our body, just get become aware of what's going on. And we'll either be breathing in a long breath or breathing in a short breath. So if you see on the paper here that outlines the stages of the practice, stage one is sensitive to a long breath I breathe in, and stage two is sensitive to a short breath I breathe in. But again, it doesn't quite work like this. You know, we're not in the business of trying to control the breath. So it's not as if you would have stage one where you have a long breath and then stage two you do short breaths. That's not going to work. You will either be breathing long breaths or short breaths as a rule of thumb. You might be breathing middle-sized breaths as well, but I'll let you work that out. So what we do is we run stage one and stage two together, so that when we do the practice, the first stage is 20 minutes. And you're just aware of whether you're breathing in a long breath or a short breath. Occasionally I forget and ring a bell after 10 minutes out of habit, but we just have to ignore that and carry on. And then pretend it didn't happen. So we're looking for a good general awareness of the body when we first sit down. So we begin with setting up mindfulness. We become aware of what is. And it's not particularly complicated. The body is what is. And the mind's probably doing various things as well. And sometimes the mind can be in such a whirl that it's difficult to actually get any traction in meditation. So this is a very simple technique for doing that. We just become aware of the body in quite a simple, straightforward way. And we use our natural curiosity to engage with the breath by way of a warm and sympathetic awareness. a bit similar to the attention that we give when listening to birdsong. You know, if you're sitting here or out by the pond or wherever on a morning like this morning and just listening to the birdsong, you're quite naturally engaged with it, but in quite a light, appreciative sort of way. So it's this warm and sympathetic awareness. And throughout the practice, with the breath, we're trying to cultivate quite a light touch, really. So with the first two stages, which in practice run together, the idea is that the body moves to the foreground, while the breath occupies the background of our awareness. So when we first sit down, we're just sat down on the cushion. The thing we're looking for is the body, really. And that's it. So that we place our attention upon the body with the breath as peripheral background awareness. And then we're just trying to get a sense of our situation. You know, we're sitting in a mat or on a chair in the Pamaloka Shrine Room in this instance. It may be morning, it may be afternoon. You know, there's various things going on with our thoughts and feelings and all the rest of it, but we're just concentrating on the body, just trying to get a sense, a feel of the body. And the leading edge of this will be tactile sensation, touch. You know, you feel your bum on the cushion, your feet on the floor, your posture, head, and just be aware of all that. And then in the peripheral background awareness, you know, there'll be the breath in there somewhere. And we maintain a good general awareness of the body, and then we begin to become mindful of the breath, whether the breath is a long breath or a short breath. So depending on our mental states, the breath varies in terms of length, duration, texture, all the rest of it. So we're just doing very simple notational mindfulness here. Just aware of the body, aware of the breath, very simple, straightforward way. And again, emphasising that we're just being aware of what is. Now, the inclination of most of us in the West is to try and fiddle with things very quickly. We're in a hurry, we're in a rush. We want everything downloaded and then our fingertips straight away. So, you know, we've sat on the mat for about 2 minutes and then we start to fiddle around with the body and the breath and all the rest of it. And we don't really allow ourselves time to relax into our experience. So it's really important. You know, there's plenty of time on this retreat. So you've got a lot of time just to sit down and, yeah, you can even sit there for 5 minutes if you like after the bell, just looking around the shrine room. Just get a sense of the place and a feel for what's going on in your body. And then just, as you become more aware of your body, just start concentrating a bit more. And then, you know, you'll find the breath starts coming on stream. You start becoming a bit more aware of the breath. And we maintain a good general awareness of the body, mindful of a long or short breath. So this is the first two stages, really, which we run together. So having established mindfulness based in the body, then we start looking for engagement with the characteristics of the breath. So we're just moving in a sequence, really, from just not really being that aware, sitting down, becoming a bit aware of what's going on, then becoming aware of the body, then sort of picking up on the breath. And then as we establish a more even mindfulness or awareness of the body, then we begin to focus more attention on the breath. And again, just to emphasise, you know, the focus on the breath is a warm and sympathetic awareness. It's a curiosity. You know, the breath is not a thing. The breath is a conglomeration of sensations. Mm. So there's actually no such thing as the breath. Mm. You know, the word breath describes a process. So what we're doing is we're starting to develop an interest in that process. And we develop an interest, an emotional engagement, a fascination with that process. And the key really is to engage your interest. If you can engage your interest, you're halfway there. We tend to do what we're interested in. You know, if you observe, you know, your life, we do what we're interested in. I mean, some things we have to do, like pay the rent and all this and that, but the things we do, you know, in our relaxation time and for pleasure are things that we're interested in. And we tend to engage with what we find pleasurable and of value. So this is this is the sort of recommended approach to mindfulness with breathing. So when we start to take an interest in the breath, we're looking at the location of the breath. You know, where in the body is the breath located? And we're looking at the duration of the breath, is it long or short? And then the qualities of the breath. The breath has all sorts of qualities. Coarse, fine, easy or restricted. It can be tight or loose, jagged, smooth. It can be quite tranquil, quite long and easy, or short and, you know, ragged. So just become aware of the qualities of the breath. So up to this stage, we're still in the process of becoming aware of what is. But as we move through the stages, there's a developmental process goes on in terms of sort of subtlety of awareness. So we become increasingly aware of how the breath changes with awareness. We become more conscious of aiming at the breath. And, you know, we become better, begin to modulate between, you know, awareness of the body and awareness of the breath. And, you know, you can move back and forth from foreground to peripheral awareness with either the breath or the body. And you just start working it. In a way, you know, the awareness between the breath and the body is like the in and out breath itself. Mm-hmm. So, and you get a feel for it, how to modulate the awareness so that you begin to develop your concentration. So stage three is sensitive to the whole body I breathe in and sensitive to the whole body I breathe out. So in stage three, we've established a sort of ground or base of awareness with the body anchored to the breath. And we become sensitive to the whole body. And normally, are aware of a prominent aspect of bodily experience that will present itself, sort of as a doorway to whole body awareness. So we can either scan the body in the traditional sense of, you know, going through the various waypoints of touch, or we can just relate to whatever's prominent in our physical experience. And then we begin to notice the effect that the breath has on the body. And also what effect mindfulness brings to the breath and the body. So you can see there's a progression. We're moving into more subtle levels of awareness. So we've sat down, you know, it's quite gross. We sit down, we allow ourselves to settle. We just get a feel for what's going on, anchor to the breath. Yep.
You said, first scan the body, and the second one, what is prominent in the physical body?
Yeah. Yeah, generally.
The question I had before was, when you talk of body, you mean the six or the five senses?
Well, you've got six senses in the body, but at this stage, we are aware of the physical body.
The physical body.
So, yeah, the leading edge at this stage is touch.
Yeah.
So, but again, we're not looking at either or. So, for example, if if you sit down, an obvious one is the mind, you know, and the mind's really prominent. But you can't make it not prominent. But what you can do is just try and focus on the physical aspects of the body and allow the mind to go to the more peripheral awareness. Maybe that. Yeah, we're at Padmaloka, there might be a couple of the old village darlings, you know, sitting out the window of the shrine room having a good old chat. That happens from time to time. And all the kids are playing football out there. And it's really loud. So that's actually sound, isn't it? I mean, it's an aspect of the body. But, so, you just let that be. And then you just try and emphasize your awareness of the physical body. And allow the sound, as it were, to just to be in peripheral awareness. So it's really a question of emphasis and place where you place your attention. I mean, later on, when you get familiar with the practice, if the mind is really prominent, you sit down, you may go straight to the mind tetrad, but we're not there yet, so... So we begin to notice the effect that the breath has on the body and also what effect mindfulness brings to the breath and body. And we're in the process of integrating our awareness and experience around the breath. So we note how the breath changes with awareness. So this is the third stage. We're beginning to get into a more subtle level of mindfulness or awareness, and we can begin to aim at the breath, at the beginning, middle, and end of the breath. And a good tip at this point is to observe the movement of the breath in relation to the movement of the body. So it's as if you can chase the tail of the breath or follow the tail of the breath. Like, if you breathe in, your solar plexus rises up. And then when you breathe out, it goes down. That's not actually what happens. That's what it feels like happens. So you've got this movement, like your breath's coming in. So you breathe in, the breath comes in, and your chest expands, your solar plexus comes up. And then when you breathe out, your chest contracts and your solar plexus goes down. That's what it feels like happens. I don't think that's medically what happens, but we're not worried about that. So you just follow this. You follow this dual movement. So you can follow the tail of the breath into your lungs and feel your body moving, expanding. Then follow the tail of your breath out and watch it contracting and falling. And that will help with concentration.
Earlier you talked about the prominent aspect of the physical body as a way in.
Yeah.
So are you suggesting we change the position where it be the strongest awareness of the sensation of the body breathing rather than resting on one prominent aspect?
Yes, more you rest with a prominent aspect.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to be very careful about starting to fiddle around with your meditation. In the sense, if I'm hearing you correctly, in the sense of changing things, you know, it's as if a prominent aspect will present itself, as it were. So you just sort of rest with that.
Okay.
Yeah. And in stage three, if you begin to develop awareness or mindfulness, you know, as your mindfulness becomes more subtle, you'll find your body becomes more comfortable as well. The body sensation can become quite pleasurable. And we're beginning to more, by the end of stage three, we're beginning to more consciously integrate our awareness and experience around the breath. So stage four is calming the whole body I breathe in, calming the whole body I breathe out. So in stage four, we move from the emphasis of using the breath as an anchor to investigating our experience as a whole. So we're progressively becoming more conscious in the process of applying and developing awareness and mindfulness. So we actually allow the breath to lengthen and notice the effect that it has on the body. And the longer breath will actually have the effect of calming the body. The Buddha talks about determinants. So things determine other things. So the breath determines the body, and the body determines the breath. That determines feeling, that determines mind. So if you calm the body and calm the breath, you'll calm the feeling. If you calm the feeling, you calm the mind. These are determinants. So we're becoming more aware of the process, that as we allow the breath to lengthen and notice the effect that it has on the body, we'll find that we start becoming more relaxed. And with relaxed attention, we place our attention at the point the breath enters the body. So we're sort of starting to look at the fourth stage of the mindfulness of breathing here. But what you will have is, as your concentration becomes more subtle, and as you begin to get more focus on the breath in a subtle way, the body will be in the periphery of your awareness. So you'll have a sense of a whole sense of your body, and quite often quite a wide sense. It's quite an expanded sense. I mean, one of the problems with meditation is sometimes it's like you've got a little iron cage somewhere in your heart or around your solar plexus area, and you're sort of in there, and it's very difficult. You don't have any sense of expansiveness or even movement, and it can be quite stuck and painful. But when we begin to develop general awareness of the body and a good awareness of the breath, you'll find that you have a whole awareness of your body. You're aware of what's going on in your body, your head, your hands, feet, posture, spine, and a sort of rounded overall sense of the body. But it's also expanded as well. It's a sort of open sort of dimension to that awareness. And then that's anchored to the breath. And the breath moves from being coarse, initially we're just looking at it as either a long breath or a short breath, and then we notice the location, the duration, the texture. And then as we go on, we begin to focus on the breath at the point where the breath enters the body, which is in the vicinity of the nose. And that itself is a physical sensation. What we're looking for is the physical sensation of the breath. It's as the air touches the skin, that's actually a sensation, and that's what we're looking to concentrate on. And as we get more concentrated, the object of concentration becomes more subtle, and it requires a lighter touch as we move to one-pointedness and concentration. And also, knowing that the breath conditions the body, we allow a longer, calmer breath to affect our experience. And then you can begin to notice things, like the way the breath changes with increased concentration. And from guarding one's concentration at the point of the breath, as you become more concentrated, you'll notice that there's a silkier, more subtle sense of the breath will emerge. And this will harmonise with the dhyana factors. And this is known as nimitta. It's worth knowing about. The nimitta of the breath, for example, is the breath takes on the characteristic of being very silky and light. So you get very long, light breath, and this very sort of silky sense with it. And that will conduce often to sukha, tranquility, joy, and also to access concentration and first jhana. And the breath can be very light indeed. You might actually slow down to, you know, one or two breaths a minute. I mean, you can even stop breathing altogether. But the advantage of stopping breathing in meditation over the advantage of stopping breathing by taking barbiturates, for example, is you can start it up again. So the thing is, you just sort of enter into more and more and more subtle levels of awareness, and it's in a lighter touch, and you'll find that you can just start letting things be. As your concentration gets more sort of complete, as it were, more integrated, you can start dropping the practice as well. You can just start resting with the concentration, with the sukha, you know, with the dhyana factors. But what happens then is you start working, you'll find that you start working back and forward between concentration and dhyana factors, and also the basic general awareness of the body and the breath. Because you'll find that with dhyana factors, at a certain point you'll start losing your concentration. So then you need to go back to the body and the breath. You need to sort of re-establish, in a subtle way, re-establish your concentration with the body and the breath. And then you can move back towards the dhyana factors. So you find that there's this sort of organic relationship, you know, of in and out breath between basic awareness and integration, and also dhyana factors. So nimitta is a sign or manifestation of concentration. And it can come about in various ways. I mean, in some schools of Buddhism, you know, they do it quite consciously. Like, you know, you get a little white disc and you actually concentrate on the disc. You know, just looking at it physically for, you know, maybe 20 minutes, and then you go away and meditate and you'll see the little white disc in your meditation. So you concentrate on that. It's a sort of subtle counterpart, and then you can build concentration around that. Another one is a candle. Now you look at a candle flame, and then, you know, for 10 minutes, and then go away, close your eyes and meditate, and you'll see the candle flame there. And you can actually, with concentration, sustain that that image or that nimitta. So, you know, these nimittas will manifest in various ways in your experience. And it's usually a subtle counterpart of something, but the concentration accompanies it. It can manifest in various different ways. So a nimitta can be consciously set up or may spontaneously arise. And when it does spontaneously arise, you will experience it as quite a subtle. It's not actually really like the breath itself. It's like a subtle counterpart, but it's related. So yeah, there's something goes on in there, and you can feel very light. You may feel quite rooted and grounded in the earth, and your posture naturally, you know, straightens up, and your body will tend to feel very light and at ease. You'll be saturated with peace, joy, tranquility, those sorts of things. And you'll find that your thinking mind moves to the periphery of your consciousness. Your thinking mind, rather than being central, will be, you know, in your peripheral awareness. And central to your awareness is, you know, joy, tranquility, peace, etc. And with that, the breath becomes very, very light. And the body may even seem quite light and far away. So that's stage four. We're actually calming the whole body. And also with stage four, by this stage, you know, once you start calming, the breath starts to lengthen, you can begin to consciously cultivate the long breath. And yeah, you get a feel for how to do it, and that will actually have a calming effect and an integrating effect, you know, on your meditative experience. So in general, the breath is a good barometer to our mental states, as the breath, the body and mind are interconnected. So that's another point of interest, is, you know, if the breath is short and a bit ragged and all the rest of it, it can be quite interesting seeing what, you know, what's actually behind that. Because normally it'd be some sort of agitated state, mental state of one sort or another. So to begin with, we're a bit pedestrian in the way that we implement Anapanasati. You know, we sort of become aware of the body, and then we become aware of the breath, and then we try and refine it. You know, when you're familiar with the practice and you know your way around it, you can establish mindfulness of the body and the breath, but then you can become aware of mind and give that some attention. Go back to the breath. Stay there for a while, and then maybe have a little bit to do with Vedana or feeling. Come back to the breath. And then stabilize your concentration, but you might move straight through to mind because that's what's prominent. Or you might go to Vedana and just stay there and spend the whole session just experiencing sukha, tranquility, peace. So once you get a feel for the practice, and you can move around with it quite easily, it becomes quite a sort of whole, complete practice that that you can apply to any aspect of your experience at any time. But for the moment, in the process of learning it in this sort of lineal, sequential way, we begin with the body, and we begin with the breath, and then we move in quite a just almost like a clunky way to start with, towards more refined concentration on the breath and general awareness of the body. And results, as we go through the retreat, results may not be what we expect. The process of integration can involve all sorts of highs and lows. Well, I could amend that to the process of integration will involve all sorts of highs and lows. Mm-hmm. And it's worth bearing in mind that on a retreat like this, half a day is a long time. A lot can go on in half a day. Things can seem pretty desperate at times, in the depth there in the shrine room, but half a day later you're sailing along, with your wind sails full of wind.
Is that a promise?
It's a possibility. It's a possibility. And also, try and be aware that every meditation session is a new session. I know it's a cliche that no experience is ever the same, but we didn't need to be aware of trying not to bring sameness to our the process of meditation on this retreat. And there's a creative tension between effort and the fruit of effort. So it's part of it is balancing that that effort. And meditation and retreat may put us in touch with our particular form of dukkha. We all carry around a little form of dukkha. It's our particular flavour, with all those little nuances and stories and dramas and everything that go on around it. And on a retreat like this, you may become aware of your particular form of dukkha. But as a general word of advice, whatever you experience, turn towards it and breathe into it. There's a tip. Turn towards it and breathe into it. And all sorts of things go on. You can get into outrageous states of anger and stuff, It can go on for a couple of days, The person's not even here. All you've got is your own mind. And that can be quite interesting, because you can begin to sort of look at how you construct things, and how you construct the hindrances, and how you construct your dukkha and things like that. So it can be a very interesting process, but we need that preparedness to take interest in it in the first instance. So that's the first tetrad, really. We're just beginning to anchor and develop concentration centered on the body in quite a common sense, like good general awareness of the body over the four stages, moving towards a more subtle awareness, where we end up sort of at the fourth stage of mindfulness of breathing, really, where we're feeling the breath as it comes in and out of the body with a good background peripheral awareness of the body. So are there any questions?
Yeah, have you got any tips on bringing that kind of sense of freshness, not getting stuck in the way we are, and mindfulness of breath, kind of that sameness that you do yourself? Anything that you do particularly yourself?
Yeah, I think the main thing I try and do is just like that exercise we did yesterday. You know, if you're struggling, I find if I go to the senses, all of them, just become aware of the sensations of what's going on, the very senses, that will have a calming effect. But it also brings you closer to the living situation. And whenever you get close to the living situation of your experience, that sense of sameness and boredom and the rest of it seems to evaporate. Yeah, so if you stay on the living current of your experience, there will be a freshness there, and probably quite naturally an interest as well. So the technique there is go to whatever sense is prominent, like it might be sound, or it might be body, it might be a sore knee or whatever, but go to what's prominent and become generally aware.
You say that we should first have several awareness on the body, so give attention to the body. But the instructions in the sutra suggest that you first give awareness to the breath.
And well,
and then in a way, at stage three, you become sensitive to the body.
Yeah. But what we're doing is, it's like practically, how do you go about it? So when you first sit down, generally speaking, your experience is too gross. It's difficult to get hold of the breath. And you have to stabilise your concentration somewhere. So the body's the obvious place to go to, because it's the most accessible. Because when you just sit down and your concentration's quite coarse, the body's quite coarse as well. So, and you become aware of yourself sitting and your situation, and then you begin an interactive process with the breath, and you become aware of whether it's a long breath or a short breath. Yeah, I mean these are notational prompts, if you like. So there's a whole sort of background that gets left out. So, I mean, if you read Anilayo's The Satipatthanas, is it The Path to Realization? And there's a good book by Bhikkhu Buddhadasa. Breathing with Mindfulness. And they're quite good at filling out the background. So it's practically, how you go about it. Because in a way, stage four contradicts it as well, because you're calming the whole body. But if you're becoming aware of the body initially anyway, which you have to, because you're sitting down with it, then in a sense you're calming it as well. So, I mean, so it's what it is, it's a practical matter of just how you go about your business on the mat, as it were, and how are you actually going to do it. I mean, it may be that you sometimes, when you do sit down, you are very concentrated. And if you are, just go with it. Don't worry about all this stuff. If you do sit down and find that you're quite naturally concentrated on the breath, then just go with that flow of your meditation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. But in general, we teach. That's why I also ask questions. We teach to start with body awareness and our body scan, and then we go to the breath. I was just wondering because it suggests the other way around.
Yeah, I know. I think this comes from the sutta, so we just copied it down. They quite faithfully left it like that. Yeah. And I'm not game to start changing it. I'm not game to start changing it. Yeah, that's. I think that's copied from the Anapanasati Sutta, as the Buddha said it.
So are you going to just remind us at least really briefly at the beginning of each stage what we're doing?
Yeah, yeah. On all the tetrades as we go along, I'll prompt you for a day and a half. To start with, I'll give a reasonable amount of detail, and then less, and then none. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've got 4 days at the end of the retreat where we'll basically just be sitting in silence. All I'll do is ring the bells. But it's quite a lot of information to take on board in a way, actually, and also, you know, work out how to work with it. Mm. So, yeah. Yeah.
Did I understand it right about this nimitta, that in this context, an example of nimitta is experience of the silkiness of
Yeah, breath. Yeah. You begin to experience the breath, and it's almost how would you put it? It's not your normal experience of the breath. You know, it's like something else. Mm. Okay, it's I mean, there may be other ways to describe it. It's like very silky and very smooth, and it's got a very sort of beautiful sort of tone and feel to it. And that's like a nimitta. With concentration, these subtle counterparts start to come in. Like the body, for example, can feel really light and really really pleasurable.
Mm. Then you say, well, it can impose itself on you, but you also can look for it. Or in
the nimitta.
Sorry?
For nimitta.
Yeah?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it can arise, as it were. But yeah, you can actually, when you get good at it, you can start consciously, you sort of know where to go or where to look. So you sort of get a feel for it. But I think it's more like sailing a yacht than...
Sorry?
It's more like sailing a yacht than...
A yacht?
Yeah, yacht. You know, boat, sailboat.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you... you know, if you sail a yacht, or you go down to the water's edge, like in New Zealand where I come from, we grew up, we did a lot of sailing, and you get these big lakes, these big mountain lakes. But if you're going sailing, it's not sort of a conscious process. You've got to consciously know what you're doing. You know, you have to cognizantly know, you know, how to trim the sheets and drop the keel and get the boat in the water and get it going. And but you've got to know where the wind's coming from and how strong it is and what to do. But when you get it going, it's like a feel. There's a tension in the boat. And when that tension's right, you can feel it. The boat sort of stiffens and kicks and then goes a couple of knots faster. Mm-hmm. My sister and brother-in-law sailed around the world for 7 years. They had this 40-foot yacht. You know, and I went out in the Wellington Harbour with them once, and it was like that. You know, just sailing. I mean, then you suddenly just feel it on the wheel and the whole boat when we're on a perfect angle to the wind, and the boat just stiffens and kicks, and then you know, you're just going, and you can feel it, and then you can hold it there on the wheel. There's a real knack to it, and that is more like, yeah, that's the thing with nimitta. You know, so you're just on that sort of edge. You also know when you lose it as well. That all goes baggy. And I think the thing is if wherever you are in your meditation, and if you lose it, just go back to the basic integration of body and breath. You know, just always go back to the basic. And once you reintegrate yourself at that level, then you start moving back into Vedana, mind, nimitta, whatever it is.